face the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Clubatron. Our 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new shows and new video games, to boldly go where no woman with a fro has gone before.
Hey y'all, welcome back to Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy. I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. In this episode, I will be discussing little tidbits from the fandom and on social media, logs, documents, and potential pitches, as well as little tidbits and a complete spoiler recap of this week's episode of Star Trek Discovery, Die Trying. And it's a pretty deep, slightly depressing, but I think it's right actually on point and apropos about what's going on today. And I hope you will listen to it and leave comments. And I thank you for joining me. So, very similarly to last week's research for episode 5, and I did remember to look this up in anticipation of last week's in anticipation of this week's episode. I basically looked this up based on this week's episode. Star Trek Discovery is only available on All Access. It is known, or it has gotten a lot of press because in the sphere of over or glut of Star Trek fandom, as well as content, this particular franchise has, CBS has dropped a lot of money on it. This week's episode of the season 3 that actually just posted yesterday, it's called Die Trying. What I wanted to do this week was basically take a look at all of fandom, not looking at other podcasts necessarily, or Will Wheaton's Instagram show, but I wanted to see if there was any cool things posted on Treklogs, like Philippa Giorgio's character posting on Instagram in character about her, whoever did the burn. It seems like they had some intent, and she was hopeful that the person was still around because it would make for worthy adversary. Also, considerations to see if there's anything that dropped in Trek Logs, which is Trek Docs, which is kind of like an online database for templates and other documents for the Star Trek verse. And also pitch considerations. I was thinking about doing a deeper dive on the trail, but there was an article that I did see on one of the Star Trek Guide, where they actually did a deeper dive as far as trail and how Adira can talk to Gray. It's Star Trek theory. I basically had was doing a pitch along those similar lines and what makes the Trill uniquely perfect to basically the Federation of Planets, how they are in the unique position, and maybe the Beta Zets too. I'm still thinking through that one, but how they are in a unique position to basically tell with all the memories and all of the experience and all of the talent, in the unique position to bring the Federation into a 2.0 kind of stance. But one of the things that I found interesting, and I'm thinking I'm actually going to have to rewatch this, there is a part where the crew is being debriefed, and two things actually struck out. That comment by Philippa Giorgio about a willing adversary and the intent, and when she was being debriefed in this week's episode, she made a comment, or who the her person, the human that was actually debriefing her, is a expert on Terrans and how they dissimilar seem to do things just to do them. And since they're an alternate universe, and I'm still thinking about this concept of how that a subspace kill switch made all of the lithium go inert, I'm wondering it's because the Terrans actually had something to do with it. I found it interesting that they had knowledge of this alternate universe kind of crew and the interconnections between universes and subspace. The math would work out, because couldn't you think about sending some type of signal or some type of energy wave that could act across the entire quadrants and multiple quadrants instantaneously? Who does that? And who would do that, something that diabolical, except for a Terran? So I think that's what I'm going to consider putting together, a pitch along those lines. And the components of a pitch are probably a lot simpler than you would think. You introduce yourself, you track back to your work, and then you come up with a conceptualized idea. They don't want a finished product. I want to know, I'm thinking, who in this universe or an alternate universe is diabolical enough to do something so diabolical just to do it, besides Chump and his cronies? So, and that's where I'm going to leave this section of the podcast: Trek logs, Trek docs, and Trek pitches. There have been, or were, so many instances in this past week's episode 5, Die Trying, that I think I want to explore. One of those is Terran treachery. There was a part that was twofold that I think bears exploration. When Philippa Giorgio's character was being debriefed, her interviewer made reference to Terrans doing things just to do them. And being in an alternate universe, and if we play on they're utilizing a subspace kill switch to call its inertia, or the dilithium going inert, that is not so far-fetched for me. Also, could the Terrans have struck a deal with Control, because that particular entity had an outlook in the future, and it was just as a preparation for the takeover by that malevolent entity in the future. Thus, installing the Terran Empire to control the universe at that time. I'm wondering if Philippa, her love and her caring for Burnham, got in the way of that, or she suspect that level of Terran treachery. So welcome back to Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy, as I explore the fifth episode, this is basically just a recap of everything that's actually going on in the Star Trek Discovery universe. This is Star Trek Discovery, Die Trying. What this has actually made me think of is the fact that I would love to get a, this is like 23rd or 24th century Star Trek Discovery top, preferably in double XL, but I'm just saying because I like the gold. I like how the blue looks with the gold. It's all a continuation. It all is basically a continuation of the story of the search that Michael Burnham is going through, as well as the search not just for the rightness of put going back or recreating or reconstituting, I should say, the Federation. This is all about one crew's attempt to reestablish what they all had lived for, as well as personal relationships, in particular that of Michael Burnham with her mother. Whoa! It looks like they're actually in a singularity. Or a wormhole, maybe? I also look at this. I don't know if they can actually go back to the past after seeing all of this tricked out, watching them nerd out on all this advanced technology. I can't see them wanting to go back to their very limited past. Even with that spore drive, they seem to be antiquated when you think of the technological advances of the 31st, 32nd century. That was just freaking good. I always love, I'm always just struck by the cinematography and just the general beauty of not just Discovery, but just Star Trek in general. What to do with all of that sphere data? How is that all possible is what I would like to know. With the sphere data, the importance, why this new Federation is so suspicious. All of these things are worth exploring in this upcoming episode of Star Trek Discovery. So part two of Star Trek Discovery, the back home edition, several points. Again, I'm always amazed at the prominence of females and others, as it's always been representative, even with the original series. The current ex-Borg female pilot of the current series, the other second-in-command navigator, to Philippa Georgiou, even though she's a crazy Terran empress now, Michael Burnham's character, I'm just always amazed at their, just how wonderfully they're portrayed, the consistency in their characterizations, even Linus. I think that lizard-looking entity, even though he's a goofball, presumably it's amazing. This, the second part of this week's episode was Hope. They basically got the remnant of the Federation, who admits later on in the rest of this episode how they have been in triage, and they have not, they said that 5-year missions and exploration has taken a back seat to the immediate needs of the Federation. They also, one of the more sobering calculations or numbers was how the Federation is down to 38 worlds, down from several thousands worlds. So that was absolutely sobering. But the parallels that the Nehru's character drew between the Dark Ages, how that pre-existed to the Renaissance, meaning the Dark Ages was a combination of war, famine, and pestilence and disease, the bubonic plague, etc. I draw a parallel of it to our current situations. Wars, rumors of wars, we've got an out-of-control pestilence, and we've got governments that, a government that would rather one-up each other instead of dealing with the issues at hand, getting this virus under control and shoring up our society for an existence through another century. Nobody seems to realize that, but if they can get things under control and conceptualize moving beyond triage, they can usher in a new period of discovery, of artistry, of beauty, and rediscovering why they were created in the first place. So that the hope is what I'm actually going to call this whole second iteration of this episode. Really namby-pamby, they lost a crew member, and it's unlike the original Star Trek series, always the black or brown people get wiped out. This crew member actually journeyed back with her her species to so he could take with the doctor that was on the seed ship. Could actually take his family back home and bury them and lay them to rest. And he basically made a choice to turn down treatment because he was so focused on that detail. And I'm so glad they didn't kill her off. This is a security officer. I'm glad that she left of her own accord. Because she didn't die, there's always a chance that she's actually going to pop up either later on in the series or even next year, because we all know that CBS has ordered a fourth season. So I'm very excited about that. I'm also excited about the self-growth and how this crew is going to be viable to this Federation emerging from the burn. And what they do and how they're going to grow and become the greatest of all times again. But that process is going to be arduous because it took them 900 years to screw it up. It's going to take them hopefully not as long to straighten it out and then progress to a higher plane. I'm still very interested in seeing how the Trill and species like the Trill are actually going to play, not only benefit from this new iteration, but also be of benefit to the Federation 2.0. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy. I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I've enjoyed creating it. Don't hesitate to leave me a message at tinfroisreading@gmail.com. If it's not too trolly, I may actually reward you and read the comment on air. And if you are as annoyed with most people as I am, sometimes you just have to ship them a bag of gummy penises. So that is my gift to you. Navigate to shipabagofdicks.com/tinfrogotjokes and ship anonymously either glitter bomb or gummy penises to someone that just basically needs to eat a dick. And use my promo code TinfroGotJokes to receive a percentage off of your order as well as off of shipping. And join me next week as I do completely spoilers of episode 6 as well as any updates from fandom on social media. And y'all have a great week.